Plants are essential for human life and well-being, and not just as a source of food. That's according to Professor Amina Gurib-Fakim from the University of Mauritius.
Plants have been the source of modern medicine, the base of modern medicine. And if you look at to date, we have 60% of the drugs which are sold over the counter in any chemist shop, they have as a molecule from natural origin. Natural origin, it can be plants, and it can also be, of course, microbes and all the rest of it. But if you take plants, then 25% of this 60%, they actually come from plants.
And how much of the world uses plants predominantly?
Well, if you look at the WHO figures, it says that 80%, I think it's more now, because when you look at what is happening in the West, we find that there is, of course, a green movement. So I think 80% is still in the conservative, so we can go beyond 80% of the world population still depending on plants for their primary healthcare.
Now, are these plants farmed plants or are they things that have been wild gathered?
Well, in the developing world, there has been a lot of wild gathering, and there is the issue of sustainability which has to be addressed. But of course, increasingly, the plants are being cultivated. But there is still the perception across the world, and this cuts across all communities, that if the plant is wild harvested, it is still perceived to be the best. Why? I think there's a reasoning behind this, is that the plant growing in the wild, they have to compete for the environment, they have to compete for the sun and all the rest of it. This aggressive kind of attitude for survival makes the plant develop more of these phytochemicals, which are precisely the key ingredients for solving a lot of the problems.
How do you balance the idea that people do want them to be wild collected, but they also want them to be sustainable and so on, and of course many people want to use them? Is there a way of all these things happening at the same time?
People definitely want to use plants. Increasingly, as I said, there's a green movement. But I think if we are to convince people to use the domesticated plants, as we say, we'll have to actually produce the fact sheets to show that whatever has been going on in terms of collection from the wild, there's comparative and comparable results of what's going on in domesticated plants. So I think this has to be backed up, and this is where the research come in, and this is where all this movement, all this education of the population has to come in the picture at the same time. So education, and of course backed up with proper data.
And do we have that proper data already?
For some plants there are data already, but unfortunately some of the key plants, they're still being wild harvested to the point of extinction, and this is where the governments have to come in. Governments, and of course the relevant NGOs, they really have to reinforce this message that this collection has to be backed up with the proper practices.
Now, if we want to start cultivating these plants, does that mean now we're going to need more land, and therefore of course you've got the whole argument of taking land away from food production and those kinds of things, or are there ways of growing these plants in amongst other things at the same time?
Both can go side by side. You can grow them in between. But of course, a lot of the medicinal plants, they're also food plants. So it's a question of killing the two birds with the same stone. So we can address both issues in parallel or as an integrated farming, which is increasingly becoming fashionable these days.
And bearing in mind this huge demand then, does that mean there are some ways in which the farming of these pharmaceutical plants can actually help alleviate poverty at the same time?
Definitely by providing sustainable practices, by providing the plants which are culturally accepted, and also we are kind of maintaining the culture, so we're also addressing poverty, because a lot of African poor countries, they do not have access to allopathic medicine, which is too expensive. And if you take some very key diseases in Africa, take malaria for example, there's no way that these people can afford allopathic medicine, and yet there are good working examples of herbs which can provide solutions. And I think this is the kind of approach that we're trying to develop, is to bring to the fore these herbs which can address very key diseases, even some aspects of AIDS. Granted, there's no solution for AIDS, but it can improve on the quality of life, and this is what we're trying to do.
Does that mean that we in the West are actually taking these herbal remedies, if you like, away from the people who really need them, because we've got this big demand for our own pharmaceuticals?
I don't think it is taking away. I think so far the culture has been to take the plant and then to do the pharmacology, to do the tests, to do the synthesis elsewhere, but the infrastructure has always been in the West. But I think increasingly there is this movement now to add value to what exists. And I think the developing world, they become increasingly aware of this, and a lot of them, they are literally not going for the allopathics per se, but they're trying to add value to what exists there already in hand.
And if there is good evidence to suggest that there are completely natural remedies that can help with malaria, can help with AIDS and so on, what do you think that means for the big pharma industry in the Western world?
This has been the good question that's been going on. What will be the reaction? This is something that we have to keep speculating what will be. But do we have to act in a competitive manner? I think we can act in a synergistic manner. I think the West allopathic medicine has got a definite role, but I think what we have to show to the world that for chronic ailments, we have to show that there are other alternatives. And this will be, of course, applicable both to the West and, of course, to the developing world.
That's Professor Amina Gurib Fakim from the University of Mauritius.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.